Thank you all for coming. Despite all the difficulties, we have come together to study, to continue looking at the book of Isaiah. It's a very special section of reading this week. As a matter of fact, in this section of the readings in the book of Isaiah, we will depart from the poetic prophecies and instead focus on prophecy in action in the timeline of the prophet. Let me read a verse for you to get started. He trusted in Adonai, the God of Israel. Indeed, none of all the kings of Judah after him was like him, and none before him. For he clung to Adonai. He did not turn away from following him, but kept his mitzvot, which Adonai had commanded Moses. Now you would think I'm talking about King David, but this statement was made about another king. He was highly favored by Adonai. He was loved by Adonai, but he was also tested. Before we begin the reading, let's take a deeper look at the material behind the chapters of Isaiah 36 through 39. As always, keep this in mind that the Holy Scriptures come to life when they are read in context and with historical background. All right, to begin, the story begins with the kingdom of Israel. So, to put the scenario, we all know that Israel fell quite a few years before Judah. So our story tonight begins right after the fall and the captivity of the northern kingdom of Israel. The survivors of the northern tribes have been carried away and resettled in what is today, I'll give you their modern national names. It would be modern East Turkey, Armenia, Georgia, and the far west. Far northwest Iran. So the very first wave, and actually Israel was taken out in several ways, but those wave of captives were put into worker cities. And these worker cities were in modern East Turkey, Armenia, Georgia, and northwest Iran. Now, as you know, the Israelites continued to rebel in the worker cities, and eventually many of them were pushed out of the cities. They spread to the north, the east, and the west into the world's nations. They intermarried along the way, and eventually they lost their identity. The kingdom of Judah suffered a different fate. The southern kingdom of Judah continued to survive. They took in some who had fled from the northern tribes, including Isaiah. They merged them into the people who would one day be called the Jews. Jewish people, as we know them today, had a remnant of people who survived the Babylonian captivity. So they were the southern tribes, far removed from the people of the northern tribes. All right. We covered the events of the fall of Judah in the books of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. We will come back to those again probably next year. Now, with this section of Isaiah, we will look at the events that will partially lead to the fall of the kingdom of Judah. I say partially, because we know that from Ezekiel that the priesthood in the days before the fall had turned completely to idolatry. They had the facade of the worship that Solomon and David had set up in the temple. But inside the inner chambers, they had their own individual gods and their own drawings, even on the wall. We know from Jeremiah that the rulership and the upper classes had turned to evil. They were corrupt, to the point of sacrificing their own children for prosperity by burning them on the image of Molech, the god Molech. Now, the king from our opening is actually the incredible King Hezekiah. On a historical note, his preparations and public works are actually still in use in Israel today. The public works that he created to bring water into Israel are still being used to this very day. A remarkable feat for a very young king. As a matter of fact, his royal seal, called a bulla, was one of the first proofs that the events of the Bible are true. Let that sink in for a moment. King Hezekiah, we found proof of him by digging in the dirt in Jerusalem, and that was one of the first proofs that we had that this person, Hezekiah, son of David, was real. His royal seal was discovered in Ophel. And there are pictures of it on the internet, which you're welcome to look up, but I'll give a brief description. His royal seal consisted of bears, I'm sorry, his royal seal consists is about a centimeter in diameter. So it's very small. These little seals were rubber seals, not rubber. They were a material that was pressed onto a document to indicate from the ring of the king, indicating that these were official documents. We would call them a notary seal today. All right, so they found his seal. It had a two-winged sun disk flanked by an ankh from Egypt and containing a Hebrew inscription that reads, "Belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah." Now, let's take a little deeper dive into Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18, 1 through 6, so if you're taking notes, write this down. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 6. Now, it was the third year of Hosea, king of Elah, king of Israel. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Now, it was the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in Adonai's eyes, according to all his ancestor David had done. He removed the high places, he smashed the pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For up to those days, B'nai Israel were still burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in Adonai, the God of Israel. Indeed, none of the kings of Judah after him was like him, and none before him. For he clung to Adonai, he did not turn away from from following him, but kept his mitzvot, which Adonai had commanded Moses. In 2 Chronicles 32, we find that he also fortified the walls of Jerusalem, the defenses of Jerusalem. He built aqueducts and he strengthened the hearts of the people. I'm sorry? Okay, so let me go ahead and read for you from 2 Chronicles 32. Hazak, be courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed by the king of Assyria and the whole horde that is with him, for we have more with us than he has with him. With him is an army of flesh, but with us is Adonai Eloheinu to help us and to fight our battles. So the people were encouraged by the words of King Hezekiah of Judah. Now, after the events that we're about to read about, King Hezekiah became wealthy and respected. And it says in 2 Chronicles 32, many brought offerings to Adonai in Jerusalem and valuable gifts to King Hezekiah of Judah. From then on, he was highly regarded in the eyes of all the nations. That's important. Continuing on in 2 Chronicles 32. Now, Hezekiah had very abundant riches and honor. He even made treasuries for silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and for all kinds of valuables, and storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of cattle, and sheepfolds for flocks. Moreover, he built towns and acquired flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very many possessions. However, as we will find out, Adonai tested Hezekiah. So, reading again from 2 Chronicles 32. But when the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon were sent to him to inquire about the wonder that had happened in the land, God left him alone to test him, to know all that was in his heart. That's Hezekiah. I'm sorry, that's 2 Chronicles 32, verses 31. Hezekiah's story is one of incredible triumphs against all odds, redemption and rescue from death. And yet his tragic story sets in motion. Shamashit Malka. Thank you. I'll start over again. Hezekiah's story is one of incredible triumphs against all odds, redemption, and rescue from death. And yet, his tragic story sets in motion, at least in small part, the interest of a one very tiny, small, insignificant kingdom far away across the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. And we know who that is. That little kingdom had been defeated by Assyria, but they rose to prominence right after coming to visit King Hezekiah. So tonight we will see what could have led up to, I'm sorry, tonight we will see what could have led up to the events that caused Babylon, which was defeated by Assyria, to rise again and conquer the kingdom of Judah. For tonight's readers, I will be asking Reb Andy, if he his connection is good enough, to be able to read us chapter 36. Chapter 37, I will read myself. Chapter 38, Shamashit Malka will be reading. And chapter 39, Shamashit Jackie. Once again, when you're reading, you do not need to read the titles, the bolded titles that are not a part of the scriptures. Just simply announce your chapter and begin reading. You don't need to be prompted when the
Reb
first person finishes.
Emmanuel, Reb Emmanuel, I can't hear you, so I can't anticipate the meeting either, like, so I just, okay.
Okay, so we won't ask Reb Andy to read tonight. I will read chapter 36 and 37, Shama, unless I have a volunteer right
Thank
now. Shamashit 38.
Sorry.
I'm sorry,
Okay.
chapter 38 will be read
Okay.
by Shamashit Malcolm. We need your assistance. Thank you. Okay. If we have a volunteer to open us with chapter 36, that would be great. If not, I'll go ahead and read chapter 36. And 37. Shamashit Malka will read chapter 38, and Shamash Jackie will read chapter 39. Okay, so do we have any volunteers to read chapter 36? Okay, so let me go ahead and begin. Once again, I apologize for the delays. I seem to be having problems here myself. Let me go ahead and start with Isaiah chapter 36. It was in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. One moment. Let me start that again. It was in the, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. The king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a massive army. The Rabshakeh stood by the aqueduct of the upper pool in the highway of the washer's field. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna, the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. So Rabshakeh said to him, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what is this confidence you've relied on? I say your strategy and strength for war are only words of a lip. Who do you rely on, so that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on this splintered reed as a staff, Egypt. If a man leans on it, it will go into the palm of his hand and pierce it. Thus, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in Adonai our God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, and then said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar. So now make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses. If you could put riders on your own, of your own on them. So how can you repulse a single lieutenant, the least of my master's servants? Yes, you've relied on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen. Moreover, I have now come up against this land to destroy it without Adonai's approval. Adonai said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim and Shebna and Jonah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Don't speak to us in the language of the Jews when the people on the wall are listening. But Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words? Hasn't he sent me to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat their own waste and drink their own urine with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the language of the Jews and said, hear the words of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in Adonai by saying, Adonai will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me and come out to me. Then everyone will eat from his own vine and fig tree, and everyone will drink water from his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you by saying, Adonai will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, when did they deliver Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their country out of my hand? So will Adonai deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they were silent and did not answer him a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Isaiah chapter 37. When King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of Adonai. Then he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna the scribe, and the senior Kohanim, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet of Amos. Then he said to him, thus said Hezekiah, this is a day of distress, rebuke and contempt, for children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength for giving birth. Perhaps Adonai your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and rebuke the words which Adonai your God has heard. So offer prayer for the remnant that is left. When the officials of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, thus you will say to your master, thus say Adonai, do not be afraid of the words you have heard, with which the boys of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I am putting a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and will return to his own country. Then I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard he had withdrawn from Lachish. Now he had heard them say concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, saying, he has come out to fight against you. When he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, Thus you will say to King Hezekiah of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, utterly destroying them. So you will be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those my father destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rephzah, or the children of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, or the king of Arpad, or the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena, or Iva? Then Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to the house of Adonai and spread it out before Adonai. Hezekiah prayed to Adonai, saying, Adonai Sabaoth, God of Israel, who is enthroned upon the cherubim, you alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, Adonai, and hear. Open your eyes, Adonai, and see. Listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who was sent to mock the living God. It is true, Adonai, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. But they were not gods, but the work of human hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, Adonai, our God, save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you alone are Adonai. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah, saying, thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about King Sennacherib of Assyria, this is the word that Adonai has spoken about him. The virgin daughter of Zion will despise you and mock you. The daughter of Jerusalem will shake her head at you. Whom do you taunt and blaspheme? Against whom do you raise your voice and haughtily lift up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel? Through your servants you have blasphemed my Lord and said, with many chariots I have climbed to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and choice cypress trees. I have gone to its farthest peak, its thickest forest. I dug and drank water with the sole of my feet. I dried up the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? I did it long ago. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should turn fortified cities into heaps of rubble. Their inhabitants were weak-handed, shattered, and ashamed. They are like the grass of the field and green herb, like grass on roofs, scorched before it is grown up. But I know you're sitting down. You're going out and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Because you're raging against me and your arrogance reach my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way you came. So this shall be the sign to you. This year, you will eat what grows by itself. In the second year, what springs from that. But in the third year, you will sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will take root downward and bear fruit upward. For from Jerusalem, a remnant will go out, and survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of Adonai Sabaoth shall perform this. Therefore, thus says Adonai concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to the city, or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same he will return. And he will not come into this city. It is a declaration of Adonai. For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of Adonai went out and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the men arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So King Sennacherib of Assyria withdrew and returned home and stayed in Nineveh. It also came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of his god, Nisroch, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sarezer, struck him down with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. Then his son, Esarhaddon, became king in his place.
Isaiah 38. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. So Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says Adonai, put your house in order, for you are dying and will not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to Adonai. He said, "Please, Adonai, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it came to pass, the word of Adonai came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says Adonai, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. Now this will be the sign to you from Adonai, that Adonai will do his word he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairs, which went down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, to turn back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the sundial on which it had gone down. A writing of King Hezekiah of Judah, after his illness, when he recovered from his illness. I said, in the prime of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I will not see Adonai, Adonai in the land of the living. I will look on humanity no longer, among the inhabitants of the world. Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and carried from me. Like a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make my end. I stilled my soul till morning. Like a lion, he will break all my bones. From day till night, you make my end. Like a swallow or a crane, I whisper, I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary looking upward. Adonai, I am oppressed. Be my security. What should I say? For he has spoken to me. He himself has done it. I will wander about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Adonai, by such things men live, and my spirit has life in them too. Restore me to health and let me live. Behold, it was for my own shalom that I had great bitterness. You have loved my soul out of the pit of destruction, for you have flung all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I do today. A father makes your faithfulness known to his children. Adonai will save me. So we will play my songs and on stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of Adonai. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil, and he will live. Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I will go up to the house of Adonai? Amen.
Isaiah 39. At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of King Baladan of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. But he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Now Hezekiah was pleased with them. So he showed them his treasure house, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious oil, and his whole armory and everything that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and asked him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? Hezekiah replied, they have come to me from a far country, from Babylon. Then he asked, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah said, "They have seen everything in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I didn't show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of Adonai Zevaot. Behold, days are coming when everything in your house, which your fathers have stored up to this day, will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says Adonai. Moreover, some of your descendants who will issue from you, whom you will father, will be taken away and will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of Adonai, which you have spoken, is good," for he thought, "for there will be shalom and security in my days."
Thank you to our readers tonight. Once again, if you wish to be a reader, please volunteer. We have our curriculum. I will go over the chapters to be read next week. And you will have an opportunity to request if you would like to read. I do request that you would pick one of the Messianic versions, preferably. However, versions of the Bible, meaning the Tree of Life version, or the complete Jewish Bible. However, the NASB, the New American Standard Edition, is also good. And there are a couple of other versions, but it's just for consistency when we're reading so that people are not thrown off too broadly by some of the other versions of the Bibles. Okay. I will answer one question on the air before we end the broadcast. And I will answer that myself. Is there any scriptural indication that the God of Israel sent Assyria against Jerusalem? Okay, the answer to that is no. But there is clear indication from the scriptures that Assyria was raised up to punish the northern kingdom of Israel, but not Judah. Turn in your Bibles now to Isaiah 10, verses 5 through 15, and I will go ahead and read those. "Oy to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the club in their hand is my indignation. I am sending it against an ungodly nation and against the people of my fury. I am commissioning it to take spoil and plunder, to trample them down like mud in the streets. Yet that is not what Assyria intends. Nor is that what he is thinking. I'm sorry. Nor is that what he is thinking about. Rather, in his heart is to destroy and to cut down nations, only a few. For he says, 'Aren't all my princes kings? Isn't Calno like Carchemish? Isn't Hamath like Arpad? Isn't Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has reached the kingdoms of the idols, with more graven images than Jerusalem and Samaria, as I've done to Samaria and her idols, won't I also do to Jerusalem and her idols?' Therefore, it will come to pass when Adonai finishes all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant hearts of the king of Assyria and the glorying of his haughty eyes. For he said, 'By the strength of my own hand, I've done it. And my own wisdom, for I am shrewd. I abolished the borders of the peoples and plundered their treasures. As a mighty one, I cast down inhabitants. My hands found the riches of the peoples as a nest, like gathering forsaken eggs. I have gathered the entire earth. Not a wing fluttered, not a beak opened or chirped. Should the axe boast against the one who chops with it? Should the saw magnify itself against the one who wields it? It would be like a rod waving the one who lifts it, or like a staff hoisting up the one who is not wood." So the answer to that question is no. There is no scriptural indication that God, the God of Israel, sent Assyria against Jerusalem. That was simply the king of Assyria being arrogant and thinking, "Nothing, I can take anything I want."